cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, you thought we wouldn't be here, but look at us. We're braving the COVID to come and be with you this morning. Yeah, we've decided to go into kind of a voluntary lockdown tomorrow, where we'll all be doing as much as we can from home. And, you know, it's just a precautionary, responsible thing to do, I think. I spoke to a friend of mine in Vancouver last night in Canada, and he said that they are in complete lockdown. Like, the streets of Vancouver are empty. And then I went on this app called House Party with like four of my other friends, and one of them lives in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed us what is going on in the streets outside. Now, he lives near the Lincoln Tunnel entrance into Manhattan. Not a single car. It's like a ghost town. So if you want to get ahead of this curve, you know, if you want to do the right things in terms of not getting this thing to spread as far and wide as it may do, we've all got to make our minds up sooner or later. And if it's overreaction, well, too bad. We learn new things along the way. But if it's a complete underreaction and we end up with the highest casualty rate in the world, we're not going to be very pleased with ourselves. At very least, we're going to have blood on our hands. So we've got to do the right thing, without question. And I'm not an overreactor, and I do think that there's a lot of drama that's going on. And I'm going to keep most of my opinions about how I think this is doing more damage to the economy and to the world economy than it is to anyone's health. But actually, those concerns are not as important as the fact that some people will die. And we've actually got to do the right thing. So that's the only bit of seriousness for this morning. By tomorrow, when we do the show live, which we will continue to do, by the way, I'll be doing it from home. Sia will be at home. Mbulelo and Mfundo may be here because Mfundo lives right next door and Mbulelo lives just down the road. But we'll try and figure it out.
It will be the shortest commute for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to commute from my bedroom to like a room where there's some decent sound. That's all I'm going to do.
It's already the shortest commute for Leanne.
Yeah. So Leanne this morning is going to be on Skype. She's going to join. Are you there, Ass?
Yes, I am.
Oh, this is fantastic. Look at this. You're not sick with the COVID, are you?
No, absolutely in perfect health. Well, as you know, by my standards.
Yeah, sure.
And I even got up and showered. And
oh, wow, I'm all look at you.
Dressed and ready. And,
well, I'm so pleased because to talk to you on Skype and you imagine that you're sitting there in your dressing gown, you know, cigarette hanging from your bottom lip. it's just not the right. It's not the right mental picture.
I don't know. My cigarettes are next to me, so you never know what might happen.
Oh,
did you isolate during the weekend?
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy because you know, I don't work in an office.
Mm.
And so we've all kind of worked from home anyway.
Right.
And we have postponed or put off all meetings, client-facing meetings. So all I've done is really, you know, if I do get ill, it would probably be from Mr. Delivery or from going to the shops, but that's about it.
Well, absolutely. I think the less anybody can force themselves to leave the house, the better for everybody else.
Yeah.
Forget about it. If you're young and you're mostly healthy and you've got a good immune system, you'll probably be absolutely fine in this situation. But my God, we have a lot of people in this country with TB. Mm. A lot of people. And if you just think about TB, forget about all the others, right? Just look at that, and it's frightening what could happen with this disease. Anyway, I did go against everyone's better judgment and my own. I went down for a wedding in Durban, and it was a very strange thing because it was totally dry. There was no alcohol served at all.
At this wedding?
At all.
Wait, why?
Nothing. The venue itself had some kind of rule that they did not serve any alcohol, so there was nothing. There was water, there was juice, there was sparkling wine without the alcohol in it.
This is not a corona restriction, time restriction thing. No, it was just the venue doesn't do.
No, it was a corona thing.
Oh, okay.
It was according to the regulations. They were following very strictly.
What time was the wedding?
It was at 3 in the afternoon on Saturday.
Oh, you see, Saturday was a public holiday, and so.
Yeah, so they basically, it was below, I think there were about 60, 65 people max. So it was very, it was small, intimate, beautiful wedding, by the way, but totally different to all the weddings I'm used to.
Yeah, how do you even survive a wedding without drinking? I mean, it's for people who are sociophobes, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah, look, I didn't find it. I'm not sociophobic, and I know you and many other people, you know, it's just a kind of a way to, it's something to do as well, because otherwise you just sit around. And
it kind of lubricates the whole process.
Absolutely. Yeah, but most people were absolutely fine. I don't think anyone had a problem. I don't think anyone was.
Did people dance?
Yeah, there was a bit of dancing. The whole thing wrapped up quite early because, again, you know, they were nervous to have people partying and having a loud, raucous time. Plus, we were all pretty exhausted by that stage because the thing started at 3, but I had to arrive early and there were pictures and there were a whole lot of other things.
How many people were there at the wedding?
About 60 to 65.
Okay, because now I've seen a lot of people say like, oh, no, our neighbors were counting how many of us are here at the braai. Yeah. How many, this is
and apparently people are being fined and things are actually happening. Another couple that I was expecting to go to a wedding for at the end of April have cancelled theirs and moved it out indefinitely. So I think it's now starting to affect a lot of people. A lot of people I know someone who has been diagnosed. And you've seen in the beginning stages of this that a lot of the people who have the coronavirus have come in from overseas and then have been tested. And that's how we found out. But we don't know whether it's gone further than that yet. And I mean, I'd like it to be true that it hasn't, but you never know.
Well, I mean, if we look at the stats, we all know them. 60% of us probably will have the virus at some point or another. It's all about just stretching out that period so we don't all have it at once.
Yeah, and there was supposed to be an announcement by the president last night, and he was stuck in a big meeting. Stakeholders.
Stakeholders.
Something is a little too fishy for my liking about how the president played it all out yesterday. So it started off in the morning.
Yeah, he had a big meeting with business in South Africa.
But at the end of it, weren't they just standing on the steps and they were basically telling us, I didn't get the clear message. And then they went back. Then there were whispers that he will announce something or say something in the evening. That didn't turn out to be. Now it's supposed that he will say something today.
Well, they said he was in a big meeting. He could have been talking to people internationally, other heads of state, you know, the WHO. You don't know. So I think it's important. So when he eventually comes on today and tells us what the plan is, I think he's probably going to announce a virtual shutdown.
Yeah,
the whole country is going to be.
I think South Africa has to take a unique position to the rest of Africa because we are the portal to Africa
in so many ways.
So
yeah,
we can't just do business locally. He sits with, I don't know, I guess Rupert and, you know, Whitey Bason and the guys who really have the country in their hands in terms of big business, you know. He has to sit with international stakeholders and consider the whole picture, and Africa needs us, whether we like it or not. This is our time to lead. So that's complicated stuff.
See, now that is what, not to feed the frenzy, but that after this weekend is what I'm totally scared of. I know a shutdown will do us good. I know it's necessary if it were to reach that point, but I think I'm going to lose the plot, hey? I was actually so happy to wake up this morning. I'm like, oh, I'm leaving the house. I have something to do.
You had a bit of cabin fever.
Yeah, already. I've been seeing some people make jokes about, oh, day 8 of self-quarantining and, oh, my lamp just told me such a funny joke. I think I'll be one of those people. On Saturday, at least I had an excuse to leave the house, and once I left the house, I actually thought, oh, we are at that point where we should social distance, not a lockdown. So I can still go out. I can still, you know, go for a walk. I can go for a jog, but I just can't be around people. So even on Sunday, I found myself just driving around my neighborhood, but I was like, I need to be out of the house with my windows down and doing something different. But by yesterday evening, sitting indoors, I thought, this is not going to be good.
Is your roommate boring?
No, she isn't here.
Oh, my word.
She's in Durban, so she's living her best life there.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are probably going to need to make those travel arrangements. Either they might have over the weekend, or they'll have to do it today or tomorrow and just get to wherever they want to be. If there is a lockdown for, let's say, hey, it could foreseeably be a month.
Mm.
You've got to then be in the right place to be with the people you need to be with. Put them at as little risk as possible. Put yourself at as little risk as possible. And plan from there.
Because a friend of mine and I were actually discussing what could we do during a lockdown. And we both agreed that no matter how desperate we aren't going to go against one of our social no-no areas, which is make friends within our complex.
No.
That's not what you want.
You're not going to do that.
If it makes me a bitch, oh well. My neighbors
are starting to get a bit friendly, I must say.
See, I don't want that.
No, because
I've got a group for the street, and now we're all on it. But what amazed me about it is that there's so much sense of community, which is really great. We're all discussing, should we send the security guards home? Have you sent your domestic worker home? Are you looking after your domestic worker's family by providing them with the essentials they may need? And now people in the street are offering each other services, like going to the grocery shop for them or going to the pharmacy for them if they are elderly or otherwise immunocompromised, which I just think is so great.
Yeah, and I think another part that's probably coming up for us as South Africans is our international listeners may not realize, but South Africa has such a big migrant labor culture. So people can work in big cities, but 80% of this country, when they say, I'm going home, 80% of this country goes back to rural and less affluent areas.
That's a very good point.
So we've got a very tricky time. I mean, e-corona can never come at a worse time, but this is probably the worst time, right? Because most people are religious about that. Easter is the one time they'll get to see their mother, their family, whatever it may be, they're providing for people. So Cyril's going to have to show some leadership there as well. Might we stop travel interprovincially? So there's probably a lot more that we've got to think about than just stop people going to Woolworths.
So Gareth, how was your experience traveling between the two cities? Flying out on Friday, it was?
First of all, the flight out on Friday was quiet. I would say there were probably about 15 people on it.
Wow.
So there was good social distancing.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, really, there were two or three open rows between me and the next person. And flying back, it was a little bit fuller, but I think that has to do with people trying to get to where they know they're going to be if there is a lockdown. I'm not really sure whether there was... there was a woman who coughed.
Oh, that was my next question. Yeah.
There's a woman who coughed, and I suddenly thought, oh my God, we've got to remember, like, people cough during a time of no COVID, right? So there are obviously sick people around, and there are people who have the common cold. There are people who have a chest infection of some kind. It doesn't necessarily mean it's that. In fact, I was going to get that temperature. I've got this thermometer. What did you say? Sounded like you'd gone crazy there. Say that again.
Oh, the corona's in her connection now.
It's in the system.
Well, we'll see if we can get her back. I've got that that gun thermometer, which you can point at someone's head. You know, they use them at the airport.
Oh, yeah?
So we must go and get that out of my bag just now, and we'll all do a quick temperature check.
What, did you just go and pick that up quickly?
No, I had it before. Believe it or not.
I absolutely believe it.
Yeah, I have something like that in my house, just lying around.
What for? Like guys that are coming for a dinner party?
No, I use it to test the temperature of stuff when I'm, you know, busy doing experiments in the laboratory. You know, just regular stuff like everyone does at home.
But I think Leanne raised a great point. What you don't want to do is be friends with somebody in your complex, because we're going to get healthy at some stage. And now they're going to come over, like the football. I'd imagine. Oh, did you see Big Brother's on? Oh, you've made such a good point this year. You don't want people in
important.
Your complex. So that's hashtag good looking out.
This spurred my mind because someone came knocking on my door yesterday afternoon. And I thought, no one told me they're coming over. Security hasn't called. I didn't make any plans. It has to be someone here. And as soon as it's someone here, no. I don't, it's just going to be a problem. And I'm fine being alone than to drive myself crazy. I don't want to have to appease anyone else or make anyone else feel better. Mm-mm, nope.
Well, also, you're worried that they're going to come over and take your supplies if they see that you're weak.
The secret there is keep this. Do you have a security door? Do the you know the conversation where you keep the security door closed? You can see me.
No.
I can see you. Oh, so you just got a door.
Just don't open it. That's the easiest thing. I will just not open it. Because now I also realize that I need to keep myself in check. Because I like to think of myself as a deputy Dr. Phil and give myself advice. So I had to give myself a pep talk over the weekend. I was losing the plot and I'm like, Sia, this is not what you need to do right now. Because after I went and I got a couple of things at the grocery store, as soon as I walked in, I started thinking, oh, how many people have touched this?
Yeah.
Wait, is there anyone coughing there? Okay, wait, I need more hand sanitizer.
Have you had the sensation yet that you felt like you were sick?
Yes.
Just because you had a little bit of a tickle in the throat or something?
Everything now is playing in my mind.
That's pure paranoia. Leanne, you must have. I mean, I know.
No, this is surprising me, Sia, because not even I do.
You haven't?
I feel good. I feel strong. I don't... Look, I have the same fears when I get back from the shop. I think, oh my God, it's all over the packets. It's around the burger box. I have that panic, but I don't, it's not psychosomatic for me.
Well, okay. Because I found myself trying to remember the stats. I was like, wait, how long does the virus stay on steel? Because I just touched steel now.
Yeah, you've got to be careful not to drive yourself crazy because you will. Has anybody felt anything that they thought was something like a symptom? Be honest.
No, I
won't report you. I will not report you to authorities.
Not yet.
But we will escort you out of this building.
You had a coughing fit?
Yeah, I was in the queue at Woolworths, and when the saliva goes down the wrong pipe.
Oh, God.
And you don't know how hard it is to, well, you probably do, but to suppress that cough. I got into the car, rolled up the windows, and just let loose.
Did anyone see you?
What's that?
Did anyone see you going mad in the car?
I, at that point, I didn't care. It was like survival.
You couldn't breathe. Yeah. Oh, man. Sure. Well, at the moment, according to the latest statistics, as of 22/03/2020, so that's yesterday, 274 infections. So the biggest day so far for infections was the 20th, which was Friday. It seems to have reduced, at least by official statistics, on the 21st and 22nd. And then today, as people... And listen, I have to say that the roads were pretty busy this morning. It didn't feel like it was a total shutdown. So that's probably still coming. The only two provinces that now do not have infections, because even the Eastern Cape has picked up two... Only provinces that don't are currently the Northwest and the Free State. Zero. But everyone else.
That can't be. I'm sure there are cases in the Free State. Is it not the Northern Cape?
Sorry. Quite right. Northern Cape and Northwest. Sorry. That's correct, Leanne. Thank you. There she is. That's why we keep her on Skype. All right. Well, apparently Dubai is going into complete lockdown. Beaches, parks, all malls closed. It's feeling very weird. They're disinfecting streets. Feels like the end is nigh. We had a few days of thunderstorms, which also are unusual for this time of year. Please stay with us. We will go mad without Cliff Central. Yeah, don't worry. We're going to make plans to do that. And we may even do a little bit more, and we may do things differently. Now that I know, you know, I can do stuff from home, for example, we might do a version of this in the afternoon, for all I know.
Mm. Might stay at home forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that I'm going to enjoy doing this and then you're never going to see me again. I'll become a complete hermit. I will never leave. I'll have everything delivered to my house. No one will ever see me again.
You think so?
I'll be like Miss Havisham in, what was that, Great Expectations.
I think you're saying it a little too premature.
No, I don't know.
So... One of the things that I did yesterday, you know, because I thought I'm going to be such a great, productive person. I finished a book in 3 hours.
Wow, Sia.
I've never in my life, I don't, I, yes, okay, if this is what you do regularly, good for you. I don't think it's all noble and amazing. I can't do that. That can't be my life.
Yeah.
So I said.
How is Dr. Zeus then?
No.
You finished Dr. Zeus in 3 hours.
Thanks, asshole. It was like, okay, this is actually very stereotypical, but it was Elton John's memoir.
Of course it could.
Okay. Love is the Cure, one of his.
And was it nice?
Yeah, well, he was talking about his early, like, this, like, druggy Elton who...
Oh, really?
Was,
like, and he let it all hang out?
Yes. And, like, the HIV scare in the early 80s. So I read that and I finished it in 3 hours. And then I thought, well, what is there to do now? So I've now actually set out little things for me to consciously do over the next couple of days. Like, I've taken out all of my clothes in one of my wardrobes. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll restock and I'll
organize. It's a great time to be able to sort out things at your house, tidy up your life, reprioritize. We've spoken about this a little bit, but I think that conversation continues. Mm. So Brendan says, I've got chronic sinus, so I get the sniffles sometimes. I'm too scared to sniff now. also, he says there's a video from Italy that's going around. There's so many voice notes and videos and... Some of them sound hysterical and stupid, and some of them sound quite reasonable. But I honestly think at this point you just should be very careful. Even the presidency announced last night. And I think we need to put aside our suspicions around government and, I can't believe I'm saying this, and their desire to control us, because it is kind of important that we all band together. And I saw all the other political parties there doing their thing, saying that they, you know, support the president. And I think he is trying. I have no reason to believe, and I'm sure you don't either, that any government in the world wants to see this thing spread, that any government in the world wants to see this thing get worse. Right?
No.
So if we take...
Yeah, the first time that I've actually truly trusted the government. And like you say, it's... You can't believe you're saying it. I can't either.
No.
But it's for the first time, I just feel confident and I actually feel very pleased with how it's going at the moment.
All right, I'm going to do a quick around the studio temperature check. We'll start with Mbulelo.
My heart is starting pounding.
I'm going to point the
there's a laser.
A little red laser at his forehead. You're very cool this morning, Mbulelo. I remember the forehead isn't exactly the body temperature because... There's a big surface area, so it actually cools down a lot quicker. But you're easily below 35 on this thing, so you don't have to worry.
What's the average?
No, if you're over 38, 39, maybe you should be worried, especially on the forehead.
Oh, wait. So okay, I need to tell myself to calm down. Wait.
You don't have to do anything.
It could be a degree over. What is it?
You're a bit warmer than
me. No, my gosh, guys, wait. Just tell me now.
Oh, black. You're a bit warmer than Buddha.
What am I? What am I on?
No, you don't have to worry. You're well in the safe zone.
Okay.
I asked Dr. Jonathan Witt last night, what are the temperatures you need to look out for?
My armpits actually started sweating at that point.
Okay, Mfundo, we're going to check quickly. Mfundo is between Bulelo and Sia.
Oh, Mfundo, it was great knowing you.
Yeah. Try me.
Oh.
30, yeah, I'm about the same as Sia. So if you're over 38, 39 on the forehead thermometer scan, then you obviously have something.
I'm actually sweating now.
I have an advantage. I have a particularly big forehead.
Yes, that's why you cool down.
Exactly.
You have a 5 hair.
I mean, I do indeed.
Yes. All right. My phone is where voice notes come to die. I don't forward anything as a lot of it is pure crap. Well done, Grant. Yeah, just be careful. A lot of people forward stuff thinking they're helping. And they're adding to the paranoia and the craziness. And some of the information is unverified. It's fake news. You know, there's plenty of fake news. And the presidency was saying yesterday, to finish that thought, don't believe the fake news.
Mm.
All right, let's get into some headlines, see what's going on in the world. And then we'll get back to the messages and see what else we can help you by informing you about today. So Cape Town has ordered asylum and refugee seekers to leave the streets. They've been issued with fines. They've also been warned that they're in contravention of the Disaster Management Act. And that makes sense, even though a lot of people are sympathetic to these homeless refugees, because they have nowhere to go. Where are they going to go? Well, you can't be on the streets spreading a disease or putting yourself in harm's way for a disease. So the government has introduced a range of measures to help the stop the spread of the coronavirus, and these rules are being applied effectively to deal with COVID-19, including restricting the number of people at gatherings and fines being issued. So even if that gathering is, you know, tents along a street, not allowed, I'm afraid. That's the first story you need to know this morning, and if you are in Cape Town, obviously we'll keep an eye on that as things happen. And then this is unbelievable. South African hotel operator Tsogosan will close up to 36 hotels over the next few weeks after travel bans imposed by various countries to contain the coronavirus caused a total collapse of demand, said on Friday. Tsogo said in a statement it was looking to reduce costs and capital expenditure further, and this will be done by closing a number of hotels in key areas where the firm has multiple properties and will consolidate the available demand into the remaining operating hotels in those areas.
Yikes.
Well, I did go to a place for breakfast on Saturday morning, and they had hand sanitizer. The staff were all wearing gloves. They had sanitized the table, the cutlery, the plates, the salt and pepper, everything. And they told us not to put personal effects on the table.
Oh, that's good.
No sunglasses, no, because you could have stuff on your
phone.
Yeah. And then, you know, you could spread and contaminate. And they're just being extremely careful. But I am so worried for anybody in the restaurant business, because I don't think very many of them will survive.
Yeah, it's very close to home for me, having the building in Melville, where there's a restaurant there. Also, I have restaurants as clients. So, you know, with nothing's been officially released yet, but the fear is just huge when it comes to restaurants. They're not restaurant chains. They're privately owned. They've been set up with so much intention and so much work put behind all of it. It's just really, really scary and sad.
Well, other news is that Emirates have shut down all flights. That's from Sarah, who was in here the other day. You remember when Sarah, who's from East Africa, came to visit us, and she was in Dubai for a long time working. She's currently in Cape Town. And then we've got an update here from somebody who listens to us in Australia. This is from Oki. He says, Australia's in total lockdown now. All bars, clubs, restaurants, gyms, etc. are closed. And they say it could be for up to 6 months.
Ooh. Wow. Oh, that's one of the worst accents in the world to be trapped, self-isolating with.
Mm.
Imagine being trapped with an Australian person for 6 months.
Is that all you're taking out of this situation?
Brutal. From Wollongong.
Zandisile says, I'm not going to leave the house for the next 5 weeks. I traveled from Durban to OR Tambo yesterday and then took a bus from OR to Nelspruit with a bunch of people from Europe. I am so paranoid and scared this morning. Yes, Zandisile. Look after yourself. Anyway, look, we've got to do what we've got to do, hey? Try your best to put yourself in as little contact with especially strangers as possible. Mm. And then some news of a different nature, because there is actually some stuff going on, small and insignificant as much of it has become. Four suspected poachers were arrested inside the Kruger Park on Saturday. They were arrested along the Pretorius Kopanskukuza Road. A heavy-caliber rifle, ammunition, and poaching equipment were confiscated. The arrests were carried out by Ranger Protection and Air Wing Services with support from private concession colleagues. So that's good news. They found some poachers. You know, some criminals, their work carries on, coronavirus or not. And EWN reporting this morning that Amazon said on Saturday it's raising overtime pay for associates working in the U.S. warehouses as the world's largest online retailer tries to meet the rapidly growing demand for online shopping from consumers stuck at home during the coronavirus outbreak. CEO Jeff Bezos, the world's richest person, also said on Saturday, my own time and thinking is now wholly focused on COVID-19 and how Amazon can best play its role, according to a message posted on the company website. So the great and the small. We talked about restaurants. We were talking about Amazon. From all the way from the tiniest little family-owned, you know, deli to the world's biggest company. Everybody's being affected by this. Mm. So if you ever felt like you weren't part of humanity or you were being left behind, or this is affecting everybody.
And I think Leanne raised the point of restaurants yesterday. We saw one of our banks, which I thought was quite a cool move. They acted quite quickly to I mean, there's obviously fine print, but there's a moratorium for 3 months. What they're calling
Standard Bank.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Standard Bank has taken the, I mean, I'd imagine a brave move by, accounting standards, right? That they don't tend to take such risks. But yeah, they've given 3 months of a, what they're calling a payment holiday to their, yeah. I mean, you can go look that up. So big up to them. We're coming together.
That's right. And especially student loans will be positively impacted by that. Mash says this morning, morning guys. I hope you had a good weekend. Loving the quarantine in regard to it not wasting my time traveling to work. I usually wake up at 4 to be in Sandton by 6. Today, instead of leaving work at 5, I started work. So much done already. And the best part is I don't have to talk to anyone. I love it. Yeah. The mayor of Ekurhuleni in a press conference announced that we are on our way to Cuba to get the vaccination for the virus. How is this not fake news? Yes, I agree. That was very, very irresponsible. Apparently, the mayor of Ekurhuleni said that the Cubans had developed a vaccine. And he was roundly criticized. In fact, I saw Jackson Mtembu yesterday denouncing that as fake news. So, as far as I know, it has been shut down as a dumb statement from someone. Not everyone in government's going to know how the hymn sheet looks. And Tony saying, good morning, guys. I own a restaurant. There is a website opening tomorrow morning that intends to help small and medium businesses financially. And it is smmesa.gov.za. So it's an actual government website. Stay safe, my family. That's from Tony. All right. The last story in the news that we need to look at this morning before we get to Anthea is from the BBC. And they are talking about what's going on in New York. Medical shortages being warned about in 10 days. That's right. They're 10 days away from seeing widespread shortages. That's what Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, said on Sunday. If we don't get more ventilators, people will die. New York State has become the epicenter of the outbreak in the U.S. and accounts for almost half of the country's cases. There are now 31,000 confirmed cases nationwide in the U.S. with 390 deaths. On Sunday, the state's governor, Andrew Cuomo, said 15,000 people had tested positively for the virus, an increase of more than 4,000 from the previous day. All Americans deserve the blunt truth, Mr. de Blasio told NBC News. It's only getting worse, and in April and May, it's going to be a lot worse. New York accounts for roughly 5% of COVID-19 cases worldwide. Just New York, New York State. So wow. That's a big deal. This is why it's important for us to start self-isolating. Mm-hmm. We can't afford those numbers. We don't have the infrastructure to handle things. I'm not in Cape Town. I came back to Dubai just before they put a ban on entry into the UAE for residents like me. Okay, so that's from Sarah, who, well done, you got back to Dubai. Hey guys, I'm currently in Vietnam, and I've been for the past year. I'd have to say there's probably no safer place to be in the world. Huh. First case was reported 2 months ago, and right away hotels, shops and bars began shutting their doors, and borders refused entry. Basically, health comes before money here. The result, only 113 cases as of 4 hours ago. Today, I'm extending my visa to stay for another 3 months, as going back to South Africa seems like an option that is just not as safe. Good for you, Graham, that you can do that.
Yeah.
P.S. Gord has officially gone mad, according to his cat's new Instagram channel. Not sure if you've seen it yet. Yeah, Gord has launched an Instagram channel for Blackie Chan, his cat.
Unbelievable.
For those who want to follow that. All right. Let's get to Anthea and see what's going on with the markets. Anthea, how are you this morning? No coughs?
Good morning, Gareth. A little bit of a cough, but I don't think an unusual one. You know, just sometimes you cough, sometimes you sneeze.
Yeah.
Just what it is.
Are you guys totally working from remote locations now?
Yes, since last Monday already, and we have our first confirmed coronavirus case in the office. He was confirmed yesterday. He went for the test on Friday. He was in Cape Town last weekend, and then popped into the office on Monday just to get his computer. So hopefully he hasn't spread anything, but we'll see.
And what happens to him? Does he go home?
Oh, he was home since last Monday. And he's just at home now, I guess, stuck at home.
But they didn't
feeling better, trying to get better. Oh no, he's not in hospital. If that's what you mean.
Yeah. By quarantine, they just sent him home. So he's obviously young and fit and healthy.
Yes, young, fit, very healthy. And he said he was just he was a bit tired and then a bit flu-y, and he seems to be fine. Like, you know, they're not having to intubate him or put him on an oxygen machine or anything. So it's fine.
All right. So tell us what's happening. The markets are still in turmoil. This week has been marked by some indiscriminate selling. Not surprising, but what have we got in terms of detail there?
Yeah, so the selling is, when you say indiscriminate, it's across the board. They don't care whether it's a good company or it's a bad company. And I think what's happening is that as the market falls, those who have leveraged portfolios, in other words, they've taken out debt or they've got CFDs which have leverage in them, they get margin calls. And as their margin calls come through, they're having to put more and more cash on the table to meet it. And so they're selling down their normal portfolios to fill these margin calls. And I think then the other thing, which is a bit crazy, like doesn't really make sense to me, is that people are moving out of equities and into maybe bonds or into cash. And so all the equity managers are being forced to sell down their shares. So whether you, as I say, they can't always sell, you know, only the companies that have made a profit or only the companies that have made a loss. They have to sell a small percentage of every single position. And so you're just seeing the market plummeting. I mean, so despite the 6% bounce on Friday, the all share index was still down another 9% for the week. And last week, what was interesting was that most of it was local flow, very little foreigners involved at the moment. And actually, we were still one of the best performing emerging markets. Like the Rand was terribly weak last week. But the ruble, the peso, the real, they were all worse than us. So it's not South Africa specific or company specific. It's just fear.
Okay, well, I'm pleased to hear that about the Rand, but I don't think it's because we're doing anything right. It's just because everything is crazy. People are selling off their highest risk assets, I suppose.
Indeed, and emerging markets are considered, if you're a global investor, are considered high risk compared to developed markets. I mean, some of the trading we saw last week, banks are now trading at 2008 levels. That is completely bizarre in my head, because it's not like the banks are sitting with subprime debt on their balance sheets like they did in 2008. So to the point where Capitec, which is down 50% in the last month, had to make a special announcement to investors, you know, saying it's okay. We're just reminding you that our loan to value, our loans relative to deposits is so tiny. Our reserves are good. We're okay. Don't panic. I mean, we honestly thought there might be a run on Capitec Bank last week because the share was falling, as if South African consumers were completely going to just disappear off the face of the earth. It's really bizarre. And then on the property sector, we've got shares trading with yields over 40%. Now, this is an interesting one because property shares, listed property companies, are often called REITs, real estate investment trusts, and they have special tax dispensations. If they pay out 75% of earnings, they don't, you know, they get special tax allowance because basically they're paying the cash out to you and I, the investor. Mm-hmm. And when I say a 40% yield, I'm assuming that they're going to pay out this cash because by law they're forced to. But we had a look into it last week, and actually some of them cannot pay out dividends. So maybe this 40% yield, dividend yield, is kind of an arbitrary number, because some of these companies could actually say, you know what, we don't want our REIT status anymore. We're just not going to pay our dividend. Or they're going to say things are so bad that actually we need the cash to bolster the company to keep paying wages and whatever else they need to.
I suppose there has to be quite a lot of understanding across the board. I mean, we heard about Standard Bank and Bulelo, just referred to them now, giving a bit of a payment holiday, among other things, to student loans. There's going to have to be some understanding. A little bit of leeway, a bit of flexibility offered to not just consumers, but investors, shareholders, to the management of these. This is unprecedented, Anthea, and a lot of it, as you've just indicated, from what's happening with equities and with the price of shares in companies like Capitec, a lot of it is just pure sentiment, which means it's part of the panic.
Yeah, sentiment and the need for cash. So I've had a couple of questions by email saying, should I be withdrawing out of my funds now? And you're just like, this is the absolute worst time to be withdrawing, to be sitting on cash, because at some stage it's going to get better. So unless you absolutely need the cash desperately to go and buy groceries and to pay rent, then no, I would say hold on, just stay in the market, see this ride through. I mean, you are going to need a bit of tenacity. You're going to need some, you know, fortitude is the word I think I'm looking for to get through this, because it looks horrible when you look at it on paper. Well, but yes, you need to. And you're right.
It's maybe worth reiterating to people who are thinking of selling out of shares and stocks and investments, is that if you sell out, that's when you realize your loss. If you keep those shares and they do end up going up, you don't make a loss. You know, it sounds so simple, but people panic when they see the price of something going down. They go, oh, my value's dropping. And then they sell at the bottom, and that's where you've actually made the loss, is when you sell.
That's right. So that really is the definition of panic selling. And then capitulation is that the next person sees that you're selling and then they sell, and then somebody else sees that they're selling, and so it goes. I mean, so I must commend Standard Bank for implementing the measures for students and businesses, you know, the repayment holiday. That was great. But also on Thursday, the Reserve Bank cut interest rates by 100 basis points to the repo rate is now 5.25%, which, thank goodness. I think the Reserve Bank did fantastically well to cut by 1%. We were looking, well, the market, not us, the market was looking for 0.5%. And I think the market would have been happy with 0.5%, to be honest, because like the Fed and like the Bank of England, any other rate cut more than is expected actually does nothing to stabilize the market. I think what it does is provide a little buffer, you know, a little kind of for the consumer and for banks, actually. But in reality, the market, just this panic selling in the market, doesn't stop at all.
Anthea, that's an interesting observation. I'm curious also about how the other banks might follow the lead of Standard Bank in this case. And maybe there are things like the oil price that are also going to come into how people will factor surviving through this period. Have you spoken to some CEOs? Have you looked at some reports? Have you spoken to some of the people around your office and got any idea of whether people have got strategies in place to deal with things like this?
So the companies are not talking at the moment, as you can imagine, because they're also all trying to figure out their strategies. As far as the other banks are concerned, I think they will definitely follow Standard Bank's lead. It absolutely makes sense. And in fact, in the UK, the regulator has asked all listed companies to stop reporting for the next 2 weeks, because there's just, even if you report a fantastic set of results, it doesn't matter. The markets are just falling. There's indiscriminate selling, panic selling, and so it doesn't matter. In a lower interest rate, because we've got a set differential between interest rates and the prime lending rates, between kind of the repo rate and prime lending rate, in a lower interest rate environment, the banks effectively should, in a normal environment, be making slightly more percentage-wise profits. Not more profits, percentage-wise, right? So that doesn't help them if they're on the fixed cost side of things. So this 100 basis points rate cut should be good for them. And I think when markets normalize, the Reserve Bank will probably come back and say, right, okay, well, oil is now at, jeepers, can you believe, below $25 a barrel? I literally can still remember the day it hit $100 a barrel. It's like, sure, when the Twin Towers fell, where were you? I remember when oil hit $100 a barrel.
Yeah.
And so companies, I think, are looking for contingency plans, but it's hard because you don't know how long this is going to last. You've already seen generally, I'm guessing, and because companies are not reporting to us at the moment, I'm guessing food retailers have seen a nice consistent revenue, but everybody else, there's absolutely nothing going on. And so to calculate or to quantify the impact of an empty shopping mall is very hard to do.
Well, we're waiting for the president's announcement. There may be more that that puts pressure on the economy to come. Just before we get into any speculation around that, Sasol have made an announcement.
That's right. They announced on sometime last week, Wednesday or Thursday, that they're preparing to do a rights issue and expecting to raise 99 billion rand by the end of their 2021 financial year. So that's going to be big, you know, because as they issue more shares, it becomes dilutive for the holders. The shares, again, trading below 30 rand a share. I think last I checked, it was 27 rand, which is just crazy. You know, I for one, don't think that Sasol is going to fall in a heap. I think they're going to do asset sales or fire sales of their assets. And get some money in to keep going. They're trying to sell off Lake Charles, some of Lake Charles in the US at the moment. Whether or not they'll find a buyer will be interesting. And it's going to be hard, but at 20, even with oil at $25 a barrel, I think 27 is a ridiculous price. I can only hope that it's not one of those shares that is going to go bust. There's another company that's struggling at the moment, and they were struggling before all of this hit, right? And that was Massmart.
Yeah.
And so last week, they finally closed 11 of their Dion Wired stores, like they said they were going to. I think they had 23 in total. Last week, they closed 11. Whether the other 12 are going to stay open is another story. But they also, on top of that, announced that they're closing Mass Cash stores, which is the discount cash and carry kind of style store. So I think you'll see a lot of that happening as well.
One last thing, Tencent, because they are a company that a lot of South Africans have shares in through Naspers, and they're a massive international company. They're also based in China. How are they looking?
So they reported fourth quarter results last week sometime. And obviously it was pre-COVID-19. It was pretty much in line. There were some disappointments in the earnings, nothing spectacularly unusual. Their revenue was up 25% for the quarter. But the market didn't love it. So the share was down about 4.5% after they reported results. You know, This is a company that does online gaming, online advertising. So actually, they should be fine. And the results were, you know, they were kind of okay for 10 cents anyway. I mean, I know 25% increase in revenue is fantastic, really.
Sure.
But for 10 cents. But what I'm trying to figure out is what the next results will look like. And that's impossible to know because it's the first quarter of 2021 that we really want to see how the COVID-19 virus will impact companies. So gaming revenues were strong. They've got nice cost savings, a bit of asset disposals. Yeah, so it was decent. But even so, in line with Tencent coming off 4.5%, Naspers was down just under 3.5% on the same period. But Naspers is an interesting one because it's now trading at a crazy, like the widest discount I've ever seen a trade at. And I know they've already spun out Process, but for me, I think the next step for them is probably going to have to be to spin out this 10 cent portion and kind of list it separately or do something with it to narrow the discount and to release some value in the share price, not necessarily the company as such.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much. Good luck for the week, and we'll talk again on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Cool. Stay healthy.
And you, Anthea Gardner, the Money Shot, and just an update on all the things that she can tell us about this morning that have to do with the craziness of the markets at the moment, the current economy, the oil prices up a little bit, 4% or so over the course of this morning. But we will keep an eye on all of this for you so that you don't get left out. And I know that there are often people who send questions for Anthea, and I'll pass those on to her as well. So just send them to gareth@cliffcentral.com. You know, some people saying, should we buy Capitec shares? And I mean, you know, she's not here to actually give you personal financial advice. You do realize that, right? She can talk generally about things, but she can't say to you, take 100 Rand out of your savings account and move it into your check account and then use that to buy some shares in this. She can't do that.
Oh, I was going to ask her for advice for my mom's stock fell, but okay. All right, no.
No, sorry.
Quite the doting son, but not allowed. Doesn't help
not
this
allowed.
Time around.
All right, we're going to get Leanne back on the line as well. We'll talk to Jane Dutton from ENCA, also on Skype. She's going to tell us about self-quarantine. She got back from the US recently and decided that it was probably a good idea to not go into the office. And I think that's sensible for anyone, especially if you've traveled overseas. I mean, we know, so if I look at the big dashboard of coronavirus and where in the world it's at its most prevalent, obviously China, Italy, the United States, Spain, Germany, Iran, France, South Korea, Switzerland, United Kingdom, Netherlands, Austria, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, Australia. Those are the countries with over 1,600 infections at the current estimates. They're also the countries that probably are doing the most testing. South America is not great. It's probably higher than the rest of Africa. Africa's behind the curve, but trust me, if it starts landing on this continent, it's going to spread very fast. So we've got to be extremely careful. And if you are coming in from overseas, if you are traveling internationally at the moment, I think you are a high risk person. And we should all be allowed to steer clear of you wherever possible. And that's just at the tip of the spear, because you don't know. Some people don't declare that they're crossing borders. You know, there are a lot of people in this country who move around. There are some people who you could catch this from in the shops. You don't want to be paranoid, but at the same time, you need to determine where the high-risk areas are and where the low-risk areas are. Stay clear of those wherever possible. All right, so we'll give you some more updates. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in the world. Obviously, keep you in touch with the most important stories. I have noticed that they're breaking down by gender the number of infections. Apparently, it's more men than women at the moment. And I don't know about the other 233 genders. Nobody seems to have any results for them. So I don't know what's happened there. CliffCentral.com.